Hi, guys, and welcome back. Welcome to season two.
Hi.
So you'll notice that we don't have our third high.
Our third cracker.
Yes, our third cracker. She has some family things to deal with for...
By she means Brianna.
Yeah.
So she's not going to be with us for season two. She has some family stuff to attend to.
Yeah.
So...
You're stuck with the sisters.
Yes.
Congrats.
We will have two other people, if not more, filling out some episodes this season. And that's Kiara, who is in our bonus episode, and then our other friend Kate, who we've known forever. So
yeah,
we have some filler crackers, substitute crackers, crackers.
Yeah. I don't know what they would be. But
yeah, but anyway, they're excited. So
yeah, Kiara is very excited for you guys.
She is.
So... Yeah, and since I told you guys that since no one likes my jokes, thanks, I decided to switch to facts. So can I tell my fact?
Yes, really you quick? Can.
Okay, so my fact, I chose a wine fact because I figured it's a good thing to start with. So California is the fourth largest producer of wine in the world. There are three others, which are France, Spain, and Italy.
Wow, but California is the largest?
The
fourth, you said?
The fourth largest, yeah.
Oh. Huh.
Crazy, huh?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I know there's actually a lot of wineries in, like, Wisconsin.
I think in Wisconsin, but where the fuck was I? I think I was, like, in New York or something, and there was, like, also quite a few wineries.
Really?
Yeah, and I was actually surprised. I was like, okay.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So... I have a super, super long story for you. So do we have any other announcements, if you will?
I do think we forgot to talk about the serial killer coloring book.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. So for my birthday, Nicole got me a serial killer coloring book. And while she gave it to me, I was like, oh, this would be so cool if when we're like doing the serial killers, if we have them in the coloring book, we can color them. So I know, like, the Zodiac Killer is one of them, so I need to color that one.
Yeah.
I'll post it. And I know that there's a bunch of them. It's, like, one of them A through Z.
It's some that I know we haven't heard of before.
Yeah. So that's a cool thing. Another thing that I forgot to tell you guys, I was looking on Anchor, which is the platform that we use to record everything, and we have a listener in Poland.
Hi, Poland.
Hi. What is it? Cześć?
Is that how you...
I think so.
I don't know how to say real words. I only know how to say like...
Like the swear words?
Yeah. That's all my Polish friends have ever taught me. So thank you guys for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't say hi, but I can tell you to fuck yourself or something.
I'm pretty sure it's cześć for hi.
Okay.
Yeah. Dziękuję. I know that means thank you.
But if they're listening to us, that means... They also speak English.
So?
Okay.
We can still say hi in Polish.
Yeah, but I don't want to, like, fuck that up. So I'm just going to say, hey, Poland.
I am terrible at speaking Polish. I'll be completely honest. I'll be the first to admit that. But, yeah. I think it's...
barely speak English.
Cześć for hi and dziękuję for thank you.
How do you say bye?
Bye.
Okay.
I have no clue.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
So... Do you mind if I get into this super long story?
Be my guest.
Any other?
Be my guest.
Do we have any other?
Oh, guest.
Do we have any other? Anything else to say?
I don't think so.
I think we covered it. We should have made a list, but.
I have a list on my phone. That's what I was doing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were literally looking up how to say hi in Polish.
No, I can.
No, it's okay. Okay, do you want to just double check that list to, make sure we've said everything that we had to say. I feel like we're forgetting something. You're right.
Cześć. Yeah.
Okay.
We live with enough Polish people.
I am just going to jump into this then. I am doing a missing person.
Ooh.
That is not missing anymore, but is still unsolved.
Okay.
So basically, what the fuck happened to Mytrese Richardson?
Okay.
And I feel like that's a pretty good question once you hear this.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, Mytrese was born on April 30th of 1985. as Maitrice LaVon Richardson. She was born in Los Angeles, California. She was described as very smart, very kind, just an all-around good and, like, deep person. She also had a long-term girlfriend named Tessa.
That's a nice name, Tessa.
It is. So Maitrice went to school in South Hills High School. I'm not farting, I'm moving.
Gotta get yourself situated.
I know, sorry. But it definitely sounded like my chairs are making noises. Yeah. So Maitrice went to school in South Hills High School in California and then attended California State University in Fullerton, California. She was the first in her family to go to college, and she got her Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology.
Nice.
Yeah. So she was, like, very, very smart. She was, like, really obsessed with the way people's mind works and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
She was really into that. So she was also really into dancing. She loved dance, and she actually worked as a go-go dancer while she was in school.
Huh.
Not a stripper, go-go dancer.
Yeah.
She didn't take her clothes off.
Those are different. Those are on, like, roller skates or something? Rollerblades?
What?
Am I wrong?
I think so.
Oh.
I think she's just, like, on a stage dancing, just not actually stripping.
Oh. Every time I heard go-go dancer, I thought of them, like, on rollerblades. On roller skates, the ones with the four wheels.
Nope. However you want to picture it, though, but don't believe she had roller skates.
Okay, I don't know.
Her great-grandmother, Mildred, was 91 years old, so Maitrice actually went to go live with her to kind of help take care of her and mainly just be with her.
Yeah.
So on September 16th, 2009, Maitrice drove from L.A. to Malibu and ended up at a high-end restaurant called Joffrey's. The valet told her that they only offered valet parking, so she gave them her car to park. After handing over her keys to the valet, she got into his personal car and went through his CDs. And when he came back, he was kind of like, get out. Like, what are you doing?
What the hell?
Yeah. And was just kind of like, can I help you, you know? So he actually thought she was very drunk and off, maybe even like on drugs. So then she starts, like, she actually talked to him. So she starts talking to him and mentioning how she's here to avenge Michael Jackson's death.
What?
And she was just not making sense at all. So Maitrice, like, goes inside the restaurant. She sits at the bar alone, and she orders a drink and a $60 steak. And in the meantime, the valet was, like, on his way to tell the owner not to serve her because she was already too drunk or on something, but it was too late because she had already ordered her meal.
Yeah.
And near Maitrice, who was sitting at the bar, there was a table with a group of people nearby, and she took it upon herself to move to their table. They were, like, complete strangers. So none of them really said anything. They accepted her. They were talking to her. They were being friendly with her, and she was being friendly back. They did note that she was acting a bit erratically, but overall, she was fun. She wasn't hurting anyone. She just wasn't making much sense to them, and she sat with them, and they were kind of keeping an eye on her, but, like, interacting with her, not, yeah, acting like she's part of the group, which is nice.
Yeah.
So even the waitstaff and other people at the restaurant just thought she was drunk or on drugs. When the bill came, she was also given a bill, and it was for $89. And she mentioned that her friends had already paid for her, but the owner was like, actually, no, they didn't. They don't even know you, you know?
Yeah.
So Maitrice says that she has no way to pay for this. She doesn't have any cash or cards with her. So the owner's, like, actually trying to work with her and asks for someone he can call, like a phone number. So she gives her great-grandmother's phone number, and the owner calls her, explains the situation, and Mildred tried to actually pay over the phone, but the owner was like, hey, I can't do this. You need to be here to sign in person. That's that. That's our policy. And also, Mildred was 91, and it's almost 10 p.m. She was not about to drive about an hour to pay this, you know?
Yeah.
So, and apparently she didn't drive at night, which is understandable because I'm 30 and I don't drive at night.
Yeah.
So Mildred called Maitrice's mother, Latice, because Mildred was obviously worried about Maitrice. So she explained the situation to Latice. To Latice, this was just completely off the wall. This is not Maitrice's behavior at all. She was just kind of, like, taken aback by it.
I'm sorry, before you go on, did they just mix Mildred and Latice's name together to make Maitrice?
Maitrice's father's name was Michael, so it might have been.
Oh, okay.
It might have been a mixture of it all.
Okay.
I don't even know.
There's just a lot of very common names.
There is. But there is. Yeah. So it is notable that Latisse and Tessa, who's Matrice's girlfriend, they have noticed Matrice acting strange lately. Like in her text messages she was sending, and she just wasn't acting her normal self. Oh. So it wasn't, to my knowledge, it wasn't actually mentioned to Matrice. It was just kind of like, we noticed this, but how do we bring it up?
Yeah.
They may have thrown out like a, are you okay? And of course she's going to say yes, you know? So while Latisse is talking to Mildred back at Joffrey's, the police were already called. Now the owner didn't want to arrest Matrice. He was just like, he didn't want her to hurt herself. He didn't want that liability on him of having her that drunk or on drugs trying to drive somewhere. Because at this point, everyone still thought she was very intoxicated. So an employee at Joffrey's calls the police. She says that there's a woman acting crazy and can't pay her bill if someone could just come pick her up.
Oh.
And in the call, I'm not sure if we could like play it on here. I heard a lot of other podcasts do that and like other places do that, but I really don't want to do that. But in the call, the waitress, like the employee at Joffrey's, actually sounds very concerned. Like she's like, she's acting crazy, but like not a crazy person. You know, like it just sounds like there's very clearly something wrong with Matrice. So maybe just very drunk. So the LA County Sheriff comes out to handle the situation. They give Matrice a field sobriety test, and she passes.
Oh.
Like, with flying colors, she's not drunk or on any substances at all.
Huh.
Yeah. Which is interesting. So, especially because she's there to avenge Michael Jackson's death.
Yeah.
So, the deputy tells the owner that the only way he could actually take Matrice is if he presses charges. Because otherwise there's no reason to take her in if she's completely sober.
Yeah.
You know.
And this is just how she acts.
Yeah. So, which a report was filed. They did take her in. And in the report, it was filed as defrauding an innkeeper, which is basically dine and dash.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Latisse gets off the phone with Mildred. And she calls Joffrey's herself to find out more. To tell the owner that she'll come take care of this situation the best she can. And the owner tells her, like, hey, actually, no, the police were already called. LA County Sheriff's Department just came and took her for not paying the bill. And her car was actually towed to an impound lot near the restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah. So also that they should actually still be en route to the Sheriff's Department in Lost Hills. So obviously, as any mother would, Latisse is now freaking out. She calls the Lost Hills Department and speaks with the deputy there. She asks if her daughter is there, and he informs her that actually, you know, right before Latisse called, the arresting officer just radioed in that they are on their way. And yes, Matrice is in their custody. And she'll, like, call her mom as soon as she gets to the station. And the officer actually, like, ensures that Matrice will be kept until morning, when her mother can get there to pick her up. So he also informs Latisse that Matrice let officers search her car and they actually found marijuana, but it was like less than an ounce, which is not much at all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enough reason to hold her.
But I feel like marijuana doesn't make you that crazy.
No, it does not.
Unless it's laced with something.
That's very true. But I'm sure at this point they did not drug test her at all. So they just thought she was just being a little crazy and brought her in. And then they actually, the only reason they brought her in was because the owner said, yeah, I'll press charges as long as she's safe, you know?
Yeah.
So, but either way, the marijuana was not enough to even hold her on that alone. So Latisse does feel comfortable with this after weighing her options, since she does have another younger daughter at home. So her oldest daughter will be kept safe in a holding cell until morning. Plus, the Lost Hill station is over like an hour away from Latisse's home. So to, like, you know, get her daughter, I don't know if her daughter's sleeping at this point, but to get her younger daughter in the car, drive over an hour to pay this and handle this situation just to go home, it was a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And she thought that she, like, her mom even thought that Matrice was pretty drunk. So she was like, you know what, probably for the best, keep her in a cell till morning. And I heard her phone to her phone call to the police station also. And she was, she even said, like, you are going to keep her till morning, correct? And the officer's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like, you know, I wouldn't agree with this. I wouldn't be okay with this if you're not going to keep her until morning, because, like, it, she doesn't know the area. She's not from around there. That's over an hour away from where we live. I need to know you're going to hold her. And he was like, yeah, 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 it's fine, whatever. Like, we got her. We got her. She won't be released till morning. For everyone's safety, she'll stay here.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, God.
Fast forward to the next morning, which is a few hours later. Latisse has not heard from Matrice or the sheriff's department. So she actually calls them to see, like, hey, when can I come pick Matrice up and, like, sort things out? And to her surprise, they tell her that Matrice is not there.
Oh.
Apparently, she was released from their custody at 12:38 a.m.
Oh.
Yes.
That's not the morning.
No. She was, like, literally held for 2 fucking hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mind you, being released at 12:38 a.m., she had no car, she had no cell phone, and obviously she had no money because that's why she was there in the first place. Also, public transportation was shut down for the night by the time that she was released. Not to mention that she wouldn't have gotten on it anyway because she had no money.
Yeah.
So she was really just released on foot into the dark with nothing.
Oh my God.
Her car was at an impound lot about 10 miles away back near the restaurant. The deputies didn't even offer to give her a ride to the car. So once she was released, she was never heard or seen from again.
Oh.
That was it. One of the deputies at the station, this is kind of shitty, but one of the deputies at the station did tell Latisse that they did offer Matrice to stay until morning, either by waiting in a cell or in the lobby, but Matrice declined. But that's just kind of shitty to be like, hey, so you could, like, wait here until morning and then you could walk to your car, or...
Well, it's also kind of shitty that, like, they informed them that they informed her mom
exactly
that they were going to keep her regardless, no matter what, they're going to keep her.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, we let her go about, you know, 6 hours ago.
Yeah. And she never called her mom, as the sheriff's deputy said, that she would. So she never actually called her. I guess she tried to call her great grandmother, Mildred, but Mildred was like, I never got anything. I don't know. And I don't know if it was just, like, her being like, oh, I don't really know this number, so I'm not going to answer. But it looked like Matrice tried to call her great-grandmother a number of times. I don't know exactly how many. But still, why would you not call your mom? Like,
yeah.
Latisse even spoke to the deputy, so he should have been like, your mom called, you know, maybe you should call your mom instead of your great-grandmother. But that did not happen. So, clearly, Latisse is upset and beyond worried at this point, but the station had no actual reason to hold Matrice any longer. Matrice actually had no prior criminal records. She passed her field sobriety test, and she wasn't even acting strange to the deputies at the station. So she didn't appear to be in any sort of danger to herself or others, which is a little bit crazy that at the restaurant she was, like, off the wall, but, like, at the police station she's, like, fine, you know. Yeah. So it is worth noting that Latisse and Tessa both said that Matrice has no history of mental illness and she was not on any medication. So Latisse asks to file a missing persons report for Matrice because this is just not sitting well with her, but the deputy she spoke with suggested against it because it hasn't been 24 hours.
What?
Yeah. Which unfortunately happens a lot because you gotta wait the 24 hours to, like, make sure it's actually and not, like, they're, you know, walking home or, like, gonna arrive home any minute. Yeah,
they ran away from home for a day. They realized they couldn't do it.
Yeah, same. So Latisse tried to plead with the deputies to file the missing persons report, but they were just not agreeing. So as of right now, her only option was to wait the 24 hours. And she knew in her gut that this was not right and something was wrong or off with her daughter, but she really didn't have a say in it. And on September 17th, 2009, After waiting the day like she was told to do, she spoke with them again to file the missing persons report, but this time she received some alarming news from the station. Someone may have actually seen Maitrise at 6:30 a.m., which was 12 hours before informing Latisse of this situation, like of the sighting of her.
Oh.
So she had like spoken to them earlier in the day, you know, and I don't know why they didn't call or whatever, but yeah. They decided not to. So apparently a few hours after Maitrise was released from custody, the LA County Sheriff's Department informed Latisse that they got a call for a prowler in Montanito that matched the description of Maitrise. And Montanito is about 6 miles away from the Lost Hill Station.
Okay.
So the homeowner said that he saw a young woman in his backyard. When he called out to her through a window to see if she was okay, she said she's fine and she's just resting. So he tried to move to another window to get a better look at her. And when he moved to another window, she was just gone. Completely gone.
Oh.
So he also mentioned that so this was a ranch. So he also mentioned that the gates to his ranch were closed and he had like a circular driveway, not one that leads to his backyard. So to get up this driveway, over the gate, and then walk across, like walk into his backyard, it actually took a lot of effort to be there, you know?
Yeah.
So with that thought, he did end up calling police and told the dispatcher the description of this woman. And he added that like she didn't seem dangerous or anything. She just said she was resting.
But still, it's on his property.
Exactly. And it was just like a strange situation. So an officer was sent out just to do a drive-by, but he didn't see anybody at this point. So obviously, this worries Latisse even more. First, because they waited so long to tell her this news, and now Maitrise could be literally anywhere. And also because Montanito is not flat land. It's rough and has mountains and canyons.
Oh.
So, and obviously, Maitrise is not used to that. So, it is very concerning that by this point, there was no search going on, or not even like a, and I quote, be on the lookout notice for another 6 hours.
Oh.
Yeah. So, nobody knew she was missing, and so nobody knew what to look for.
So, at this point, she's been like missing kind of for 18 hours.
So they had to wait the full day.
Yeah.
So technically she's been missing for like 2 days now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's actually my next bullet. Oh. So Maitrise's family is understandably upset that nothing was done for 2 days. So then the LA Police Department takes over from the LA County Sheriff. And I don't know if there's like any reason for that or what, maybe because she was from LA?
Yeah.
I don't know. But so LA County or LA Police Department takes over from the LA County Sheriff who arrested her. And they start a search with search dogs, which is good. But for whatever reason, they start a search in Montanito in this rancher's backyard where she was spotted.
Okay.
Which I just find completely strange that they didn't start at the station where she was released and then follow her footsteps to see how she got there.
Yeah.
But that's what they did.
Okay.
So the dogs pick up her scent right away in the exact spot that the homeowner said that she was sitting. The dogs were following her scent when they found footprints. Good.
Okay.
So the footprints go from a walking pace to a running pace, and then the scent just goes cold. And after that, it is not picked up again at all.
Did they say where they found the footprints?
I mean, somewhere in the guy's backyard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, and it's a ranch, so there's a lot of land.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't know if it was leading to somewhere specific or...
My dumbass thought you meant a ranch, like a single person house that's on one level.
Oh, like a Chicago ranch? No.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Like an actual ranch.
Okay, this makes more sense with like acres and acres of land.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you meant just like a little backyard. Okay. No. Makes sense.
Not a I'm Chicago sorry. Ranch, a real ranch.
Yeah. Not Hidden Valley Ranch, a real ranch.
So, we now know that she was seen in this person's backyard, but we don't know how she got there. Did she really walk the 6 miles? Was she dropped off? And we don't know why the search was started here as opposed to at the police station, like I mentioned before. So Back at the county sheriff station, Latisse is pushing for answers, and she wants everything from the beginning. Which, the beginning was Maitreese driving from LA to Malibu. She's telling the valet person that she's here to avenge Michael Jackson's death, and then getting into his personal car to go through his things. She then sits at the bar alone, orders a steak and a drink before moving to the table with strangers. She also told them that she's here to avenge Michael Jackson's death, and when they asked like where she's from, she says she's from Mars.
What?
Which is just like out of nowhere. So when the bill came, the others paid and left. And again, she tried to tell the owner that her friends paid for her, which he was like, no, they didn't. So also other patrons and the wait staff tried paying for her bill. They could clearly see that she wasn't okay and they were concerned.
Yeah.
So like they tried to pay her bill and the owner was like, no, no, no. So Latisse requests everything she can, the report, the call logs from the Lost Hill station, and video footage. Which in general, they really didn't want to give her anything or even tell her what they did have.
Really?
And the station also claimed not to have any video footage. Yeah.
That's
so
weird.
While fighting for this stuff, Latisse gets wind of what was pulled from Maitreese's car, which was her cell phone, her wallet with her debit card that had more than enough money to pay for the bill. Also, her car was jam-packed with clothes and makeup, almost as if she was living out of it. And they found her personal journals, which like really gave an insight to Maitreese that nobody really knew and was quite alarming. These journals were actually never made public, though. Her father, Michael, described the writing, and by her father, I mean Maitreese's father, Michael, described the writing in the journals as anxious, disjointed, questioning her sexuality as a lesbian, and obsessing over a woman that was not her long-term girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. And he also mentions the handwriting itself. It goes from, like, nice, neat to almost, like, anxious scribbling, sometimes even in the middle of a sentence.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So, like, her mindset mid-sentence would just change, you know? So, Latisse is actually pretty distraught over the journals, but she's still searching for leads and answers. And about 4 months later, on January 9th of 2010, with still no word or sightings of Maitreese, there's a search and rescue mission to find her with over 300 volunteers. But nothing was found. Nothing came of it, unfortunately.
Huh.
So at this point, Latisse is still trying to get that video footage from the sheriff's department. And it finally pays off. They finally agree to show her the tapes after saying they don't have any tapes. And even at that, they didn't show her right away. She still had to wait weeks, if not months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And their reasoning behind this was, we thought you wanted to see what happened outside and not inside. And she was like, but I fucking asked for anything you can give me. And they were like, oh, well, we didn't know you wanted video footage from inside. Like, yeah, we have that. We thought you meant outside. Which is just, like, super shady and sketchy and,
yeah,
complete sketch city over there. So, while waiting for the tapes, in February of 2010, Maitreese's father, Michael, was absolutely positive that he saw his daughter in Las Vegas walking away from the strip in an area better known for sex work. Although not ideal, obviously, he was at least happy to think that she was alive.
Yeah.
And think he saw her and thought, like, maybe she fell into this type of work. Maybe she was even taken for sex trafficking. And Latisse was absolutely certain that this is just not Maitreese at all. And she feels in her gut that she's actually still in the area where she went missing. So Michael fully believes that this is Maitreese out in Las Vegas. So he actually stays out in Las Vegas to search on his own. The police didn't really even take this sighting of her seriously. They were like, no, like, first of all, you're in Vegas. You're probably drunk. You saw somebody that looked like her and you were like, well, that's my daughter. So they didn't even take it seriously. So while Michael's out in Las Vegas searching, the LA Police Department start to look into Maitreese's phone calls, texts, and social media posts. So her last Facebook post mentions, and I quote, signs everywhere. And investigators noticed that her social media posts were becoming just more and more nonsensical as it got closer to her disappearance. And it also seemed, per her posts, that she was maybe not sleeping so much.
Oh.
Yeah, so which could definitely, definitely, definitely play a factor.
Oh, yeah.
So this is when the LA Police Department started to realize that maybe Maitrece was having some sort of manic episode or some kind of mental illness breakdown. And they were kind of thinking along the lines of bipolar disorder, which at her age, I believe she was 24, she would, I mean, that's about the time it would like start to show. So finally, the tape viewing day has come. Maitrece's family goes to see the video footage, and what they see leaves them with so many more questions. They're shocked. Maitrece is seen in the videos pushing and pulling the bars of the cell, almost like she's trying to bend them to get out. And, like, to me, the deputy said that, like, oh, well, she wasn't acting strange here. But, like, in the video, they could clearly see she's acting strange.
Yeah.
So, when she was released, you see her, like, walking. And then a door opens with another deputy leaving. The deputy is a male, but his face can't be seen. And they can't really tell if he interacts with Maitrece in any type of way. If he, like, tries to offer her a ride or if he even talks to her. So, basically, that deputy is the last person to see Maitrece leave the station and see Maitrece kind of alive, you know, besides that one-off sighting.
Yeah.
And, of course, the sheriff's department refuses to give that deputy's name or information.
Oh.
Which is also Sketch City. So, the LA Police Department did look into this. They did say that the sheriff's department didn't do anything wrong with letting her leave since they didn't actually have a reason to hold her. However, the arresting officer apparently wrote in his report that he was concerned about Maitrece's behavior, even though she was sober. Mm-hmm. And he only brought her in to keep her safe. Because, yeah, that, like, he was, like, the officer was concerned. So to let her go after 2 hours, to me, is a little wrong.
Yeah. Especially if, like, she was the exact same after those 2 hours, where if she was, like, drunk or on something, then exactly, she would have had to come down.
Yeah. So, with all this building up and literally just one sketchy thing after another, Latisse sues Los Angeles County and the Sheriff's Department in June of 2010 for 6 different claims, including negligence and wrongful death.
Wow.
Which the department denies each claim. And back in Las Vegas, is that surprising?
No.
And back in Las Vegas, Maitrece is spotted again. This time by an old high school classmate in a casino in the Rio Hotel early one morning. He said that she looked nervous, and when he had called her name, she just ran. So this sighting, since it is the second time, LA Police Department do take this claim seriously, since there's now 2 people claiming to have seen her there.
Yeah.
So LA Police Department goes out to Las Vegas at the end of July to actually, like, work with them and search for her. Latisse is still just not believing this. She's like, no, Maitrece is not in Las Vegas. I know she's still in the area. Like, I feel this in my gut. So on August 9th of 2010, park rangers were in Dark Canyon investigating an old marijuana growing field. And from the maps I looked at, it looked like Dark Canyon was still in Montanito. So still in the area. And there they find a human skull, oh, a woman's naked and partially mummified body,
oh,
and her clothes were placed nearby, and, oh, a leg was uphill from the rest of the body with the femur removed.
Oh,
yes. And right now it is worth noting that residents did report hearing screams coming from that area several nights after Maitrece went missing.
Oh.
And I don't know if anyone actually went to, like, go see what it was about, but there were reports of screams.
Yeah.
So after a long 4 days, this was confirmed to be Maitrece. It took 4 days to confirm that.
Oh.
Yeah. Along with the rest of this case, many mistakes were made when the body was found. So to begin with, park rangers found the body, which is fine. Then they called the sheriff's department, as they should, who got there right away. Now, as protocol has it, the sheriff's department should have called the coroner's office right away, but they waited 90 minutes.
Oh.
Why? I don't know, but they waited 90 minutes.
Huh.
And then the sheriff's department decided upon themselves to airlift the body without permission from the coroner.
Oh.
Which completely ruined their own crime scene.
Yeah.
And they quickly decided that the matter of death was undetermined. Foul play was not considered at all.
Hmm.
And being in the forest, you might think...
animals.
Exactly. Yeah, being in the forest, you might think the animals. Well, that would be noticeable. So if animals were, you know, eating the body, there would be bite marks, which there were none.
Yeah.
Also, animals tend to take body parts downhill because it's easier to drag downhill than it is uphill. And the leg was found uphill rather than downhill.
And you said only the femur was taken out?
Yeah.
I don't think animals, if they're looking for something to eat, would eat the bones.
I don't think they need a femur, no.
Well, yeah, they would eat the muscle and not the bones.
Yeah. And her clothes, I said earlier that they were placed nearby.
Yeah.
When I say placed, I mean like neatly taken off her, not ripped off.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean like bra unhooked, pants unzipped, not like just ripped apart.
Yeah.
So the LA County Sheriffs offer up a theory. Okay. And their theory is she had an allergic reaction and went into anaphylactic shock and died.
Do your legs fall off and walk uphill when you have those reactions?
Anaphylactic shock. Actually, your bra unhooks itself and places itself nearby.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That was like a completely, like they really ran with it too. Like that was their theory. They're like, this is what happened. That's that.
That's so weird.
They actually believed their theory so much that they did not test her clothes for anything. The dirt and leaves around her were not tested, and the body itself was not tested for sexual assault or trauma.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. My Teresa's family was obviously beyond frustrated, and in 2011, Latisse calls an independent forensics expert that agrees that a lot of mistakes were made and that this was just all handled so poorly. Also in 2011, Latisse and Michael receive a settlement for the wrongful death suit for $450,000 each.
Wow.
Then in 2016, the California Attorney General does a criminal investigation into how the case was actually handled, but they didn't press any charges, even though the LA County Sheriff's Department broke laws by waiting the 90 minutes and removing the body without permission.
Yeah.
Which, that area is a very, like, upscale, you know, area.
Yeah, a richer neighborhood.
Yeah.
As Dad says, a rich bitch.
Yeah. Which, Maitrice was not white, and she was not from this neighborhood. She was from L.A. So, I don't know if they just didn't take it seriously because of those factors.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is unfortunate. But yeah, her death is actually still listed as undetermined.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that is the unfortunate series of Maitisse Richardson.
Oh my God.
That was a long one, but...
yeah. I do want to say I know that with a lot of people of color, if they tend to, like, say that something's wrong with them or they tend to try to get help for something, especially medical-wise, a lot of doctors or people trying to help them don't take their claims seriously.
Like, I don't know if it actually... I don't know if she physically knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, you have this long-term girlfriend who didn't notice any mental illness signals.
Yeah.
And your mom, which she didn't live with her mom. She lived with her great-grandmother. So, I don't know how your long-term girlfriend would miss that, to be honest. If, like, one day she's like, you know what? I need to avenge Michael Jackson's death. I need to avenge Michael Jackson's death, and I'm from Mars. And, like, just the stuff she was saying was just so off the wall. And she was, like, dead set on avenging Michael Jackson's death. So I don't know, like, how your long-term girlfriend would miss that.
Yeah.
But
no, I know, like... so what I'm saying is how they just kind of were like, yeah, she had anaphylactic shock. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a way to sweep what actually happened under the rug, because God knows what actually happened.
But I just, it makes me so upset that foul play wasn't an option.
Even considered.
Yeah. I mean, the animals were not removing her clothes and folding them next to her, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, I'm sure her parents fought enough, but.
Yeah. So, I do want to say, I think they started by the house because that was, like, the last place she was seen.
Yeah, like, I understand that, but I feel like they should have traced her steps to where, like, did like she how walk she got these there. 6 miles? Did she get dropped off 4 miles away and then walked these other 2 miles? You know? Yeah. Because, I mean, that was only a couple hours after she was released, then to walk 6 miles after that?
Yeah.
In the dark?
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
I don't know, but it is unfortunate.
I do have, while you were talking, I wrote some theories down.
Oh, yes, go on.
So, you said that it looked like that she was, like, the footsteps saw that she was running, or she was walking. And then started running and then just disappeared. Did it say if it was, like, by a road or anything?
No.
Or, okay. No, so,
it didn't. And I kind of assumed that she started running because she's like, great, this guy saw me, now he's going to call the cops, and I'm going to go right back to where I was.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of like what I was assuming for that, but it's just strange that the dogs didn't pick up anything. So yeah. Like, I don't know if she got in a car or something.
So then that brings up aliens.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, that's the only logical thing, because if there was a car, you would see tire tracks.
Yeah, that's very true too. Unless it was a road, and it didn't really say where it ran, like where the footsteps ran to.
Yeah. And I mean, if it was literally anything with tires, there would have been tire tracks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if there was any reports of, like, weird lights in the sky that night or something.
That I honestly didn't look into, so I can't give you a real answer for that.
I feel like with doing your research, if they thought that it was aliens, like, they would have put that on there.
Yeah, something would have popped up.
What I was also thinking was how you said that she was, like, all of her clothes were taken off and neatly placed, was if they were placed by her, like, if she was trying to take it off to, like, wash off herself or do something, and someone came up behind her and attacked her that way.
I mean, that could very well be, too, but we'll never know because they never tested the dirt, so we don't know if there's, like, if she tried to fight back and there was, like, that person drew blood.
Yeah.
We won't know because the leaves, the dirt were never tested. Her clothes were never tested.
And didn't you say they, like, ruined the crime scene, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it could have very well been a cover-up for something else, you know? Yeah.
And then also them seeing, because didn't you say that they saw her in Vegas after she would have died?
Well, I mean, so they went, the LA Police Department actually went out to Las Vegas, like, the end of July. And she was found August 9th, and by that time a human skull was found, partially mummified body, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no way that in those couple days
she would have mummified.
Yeah.
Because you said it looked like she was, or it looked like that she died just days after they saw her at the other house. So, the only thing I could think of is, like, a doppelganger.
I mean, that would have to be it, and
that's literally the only explanation that I could think of, because, I mean, that would explain why they saw her and why she ran, and also why she was acting so weird.
Yeah, because, but I mean, it could. I mean, also you're out in Vegas where everyone, like, has their makeup done and stuff. So I'm sure if my Matrice had makeup on, like, there's 500,000 people that look like her, you know?
Yeah.
So, and you can't tell, and if, like, the high school friend said that he saw her early one morning in a hotel casino. It's like, okay, but if you're gambling, like, also you're drinking. So, and you're in Vegas, like, who goes to Vegas to not drink, you know? So, I mean, at that point, I'm sure after you've had a few, everyone you're hoping to see looks like her, you know?
Yeah, because, so my thought process behind this is if they said that it looked like that she died only days after she was seen at the house, and months later she was seen in Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm assuming doppelganger, because there's no way that she could be literally dead in the woods and in Vegas at the same time.
Yeah.
And the only, like, doppelganger is the only way that I can think of it. But also, I don't know if she was seen after they found the body, if the Las Vegas Matrice was seen after they found the body in the woods. And I don't know if it might have just been kind of like a ghost or something, where like she actually wasn't there.
Well, that's what, like, I'm saying. I'm thinking person. They're drinking, they're, you know, and they know what's going on. They know Matrice is missing, especially her dad. He wants to see her. He was hoping this is her. So anyone who looks like her after he's had a few, he's probably like, that's her. She's here. You know, and even her high school friend, to see someone early in the morning after you've been drinking all night, you're like, oh my gosh, you're missing. This is you.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, even if it didn't look dead on like her.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that is Matrice Richardson. That's a sad story.
It was a good story. It's very sad.
It's very long. There's a lot of mistakes that had to be pointed out.
Absolutely. I don't like that no one took anyone seriously.
No. No.
But, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you got for us?
I have Fresno Nightcrawler, which is actually also in California.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Man, we did that without even realizing.
We did, yeah.
All right. So, the Fresno Nightcrawler. It was first spotted over a decade ago on surveillance camera, and it was from someone's house. It's also called the Fresno Alien.
Okay.
And its appearance is a small white figure. I want to say like 3 to 4 feet tall.
Okay.
It has a head and legs. There's no torso. There's no arms. It's very thin, and it walks on two legs.
Right.
You're laughing at this now, but it's literally, like, I'm not kidding when I say.
In my head, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. But literally imagine if it's just someone's legs with their head taken off and put at the top of their legs. That is what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
That's what I'm picturing, and it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing ever. There's no arms, and also, I watched the video.
Then it wasn't crawling, was it?
No. I watched the video, and it literally walks so fast. It is so weird.
Alright.
Yeah, it's only been seen in video footage twice. Once in Fresno and once in Yosemite National Park, but also maybe a third time in Poland.
Is Yosemite National Park, is that? That's Wyoming, right?
No, Yosemite is in California.
It's also in California?
Yeah, you're thinking of Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I made the same mistake.
Okay.
For those of you listening, we're from the Midwest, and we don't get out much.
We live in Chicago under a rock.
Yeah. We live under Chicago rock. We call it the bean. But anyway, there have been some people that have seen it, and they gave it different names. So someone called it the Carmel Area Creature, which I think that's just so gross. I just don't like the word creature. It's just like creepy when you're
Carmel
talking about
Carmel Area stuff. Creature.
Yeah. And also been called the Nightcrawler.
Okay.
It might have also been seen in Ohio. And it's also been seen at different heights. So it's not always like between the 3 to 4 feet tall. Some of them seem like taller. The taller ones look like they have webbing connecting each knee with the torso.
Excuse me?
So the torso meaning like the head.
So there's webs connected from their like legs to the head?
Kind of, yeah.
Like their knee area to
the
head?
Yeah, I'm guessing like mid leg to like the head. It looks like there's like webbing.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. But the people who have called it the Carmel Area Creature, they say that what it looks like is taller, gray, and it also walks on 2 feet. And it also has a small head with no arms and long legs, and the knees bend backwards.
What?
Fuck?
I meant to swallow and make the barf sound at the same time. It sounded like I really barfed. That's disgusting.
God. Yeah. Yeah, so since it's really only been seen mostly in videos and also in Fresno, that's why it's called the Fresno Nightcrawler. I think that was the first time that anyone's really seen it.
Has it been back there since?
I would assume so. I know, I think a lot of people have seen it on camera.
Okay.
But a lot of people also think that the videos are faked or they're manipulated somehow. So, like they take a puppet and they use the puppet to make it look like it's walking. Because it also doesn't look like it's taking steps. It kind of looks like it's, like, walking but gliding, too.
But won't you see the person's hand? Like, yeah, arm?
Maybe. If you put it up high enough, you probably wouldn't see it. But either that or, like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. There's a bunch of theories that people think that it's fake. And some other people also think that it's an alien, which that would be my guess.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Some people think it's an interdimensional being. And then there's always the people who think that every single cryptid that they see is a new species on Earth. But the problem is, if it was a new species, I feel like you would see more of it.
Yeah.
And it would at least be seen by a few other people and not only on video.
So nobody's actually seen it in person?
I think some people have seen it in person. But I think most people have seen it on video. That's why they think it's kind of like an alien or an interdimensional being, just because cameras catch more than what a human eye can see. And some people think that it is a species that we already know about, but it's just seen walking at a weird angle.
What species is that?
I don't know.
What the fuck just has legs and a head?
I don't know, because I feel like if you like already see a species or like something that you already know, you would see a torso. Because I mean, personally, right now, I can't think of anything on Earth that's just a head with legs. You would at least see something.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
All right.
But yeah, that's all I have on the Fresno Nightcrawler. I could show you the video if you want to watch it.
We could watch it after this. I had a question. So is it just seen like sporadically? Like, and was that the only time it was seen overseas?
I think it was only seen overseas the one time in Poland, but that one even said, like, it might have been seen in Poland. It wasn't for sure. Okay. Yeah. But I know, I think the first time it was seen was in, like, 2004 or something.
Okay.
In Fresno.
But is it just, like, show up sporadically, or is it, like, okay, today it was in Fresno, now it was in, you said, Mount Carmel or whatever?
Yeah.
And then Ohio.
Yeah. No, it's just seen, like,
whenever it feels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's a picture of it.
There's two.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's literally just like a head with legs.
Can we post that on our Instagram?
Yeah.
When this comes out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll find the video too and I'll show you after that.
Yeah.
But I have no clue. People literally, I don't even know. I don't know what it could be other than, like, an alien.
Yeah.
Like, especially if people are mostly only seeing it on camera.
Also, nothing looks like that.
Exactly. Like, there's nothing. You would at least see a torso if it was something that we know, unless it's standing at, like, a super weird angle. But I don't know. I think it's an alien myself, but I don't know.
I mean, from the video, it definitely looks like somebody in clown pants just, like, running or, like, stilts or something, you know?
Yeah. I definitely think it's something not of this world, though.
No, that does look strange. And also, who has that much time on their hands?
Exactly.
to get stilts in clown pants and
run across strange. People's backyards. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that was a good one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No. I don't think so.
All right. Well, this was long enough.
So. Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed. As always, if you have anything to talk to us about, any suggestions, anything you want us to say, anything you just want to stop it and say hi. Our email is the number 3 and the words crackers and some wine at gmail.com. And you can always find us on Instagram and Twitter at 3_crackers.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
And as always, grab your crackers and some wine and join us next time.
Bye. Bye.